anything else. So I went home and asked my dad what a sour persimmon was. He offered to give me one to taste, but I declined. But you get the idea, we as believers, if this is really who we are, and God is who he says he is, and Jesus is making the difference he's making in our lives, why do we look like that? Yes, there are challenges. There are challenges for us in life, just like there are challenges for everybody else. But we, of all people on the face of this earth, should be able to genuinely celebrate. And maybe we're doing that. But I think that as we look particularly at celebrating mothers today, I want us to look through the lens of Mother's Day, through the lens of the scripture that we've seen today, to understand what celebration, particularly celebration of relationships with others, may look like. I want to go back, in case you weren't here last week and you want to catch up, if you want to go back and look at Psalm chapter 98 sometime, I believe that this tells us what it means to celebrate our Lord and Savior. And I don't believe that we can understand and celebrate any relationships fully in the way God desires us to if we don't begin by celebrating our relationship with God first. I'm not going to preach that sermon again, but that's a place you can go. I believe that by celebrating God the way he calls us to, it gives us perspective. That perspective is that we love God and we love others as ourselves. The other thing that that gives us is purpose. Our celebration is something that encourages. We celebrate and encourage the accomplishments of God's will. If we're not careful and we're not focusing on that, we can get to where celebration becomes more about us. Or even in celebrating other people, it can become more about what we can get or about making them feel like they're indebted to us in some way. And that's not what celebration is supposed to be. Not pure celebration. So let's look today. Let's move on to this idea of celebrating mothers. Now, it was somewhat of a gift I chose to give my wife to have Noah, our youngest, be the one to read Exodus 20:12, which says, honor their father and mother. Now, this is about obedience. Obedience doesn't sound too much like celebration, does it, Noah? He's shaking his head, no. But I want us to understand how obedience relates to what it means to celebrate. First of all, this scripture, this verse, is not first about obeying your mother and father. It's first about obeying God. Because where do we find this scripture? Where is it located? Anyone know? It's in Exodus and the Ten Commandments. You're both right. It's in Exodus. It's in the Ten Commandments. This is something that God directs us and commands us to do. So the first thing is we're obedient to God. And we're obedient by honoring our mother and our father. I want to suggest something, that honoring does not always mean agreeing with. Has anybody in here ever felt like you legitimately had a reason to disagree with one of your parents? Just one time. But the scripture doesn't say we always have to agree. It does say, if you go back and look in Ephesians and in Colossians, among other places, it does use the word obey, that we are to obey our parents. But there's a difference when it comes to agreeing blindly with everything that's said and done. You know, because parents are not perfect. At least I'm not. And there should be an ability to honor your parents, and hopefully parents, we understand, because the Bible, and I'm not preaching a lot on it today, but the Bible says a lot about the way that parents are supposed to relate to their children. I want to give an example, not that Christy and I get it perfect, but it's an agreement that she and I made before our boys could ever speak, and there have been times we've regretted this promise that we've made to each other on behalf of our children, but we believe it's something God led us to do. We both grew up in families where at one time or another we had our parents tell us to do something, and we asked them why, and what did they respond? Because I said so. We made an agreement that we would never tell that to our boys. I've broken that a couple times. But the reason for that is because we want it, we tell them that if there's something they don't understand, they can come to us, and we've explained to them what it means to respectfully ask us why that may be important, and if we have the time and it's the place, we'll discuss it then. If not, we'll be willing to discuss it later. But there are times when we've had those discussions and we've changed what we said or why we said it. And it gives that opportunity for relationship. So I point all this out to say that parents are not perfect. And so sometimes it may be appropriate to disagree. But honoring, while it may not always mean agreeing, it has everything to do with this word, attitude. And attitude, including an attitude, I've put reverence, respect, and appreciation. So let's think about that. If we're going to honor our mothers today, and we're going to have an attitude of reverence, respect, and appreciation. Reverence, first of all, is lifting our mothers up. Not lifting them up in a way that we would lift God up. It's different than that. But we lift our mothers up understanding that they have provided for us. We have a relationship with them. There's something unique between that relationship between us and our moms that don't exist with any other person on the face of this earth. And they've given for us and provided for us in a way that no other person can. But then beyond that, there's respect. Respect, I looked up the definition. This is the definition: a feeling of deep admiration for someone elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. I'll read it again. Respect is a feeling of deep admiration for someone elicited by their abilities, their qualities, and there are their achievements. So I wonder, have you thought much about what your mom may have done for you in your lifetime? Have you ever seen one of those things where it's been listed how much a mom does and how much they should get paid, what their salary should be for a year? I looked it up. I didn't pull all the things. But basically they said if it's a stay-at-home mom, the work that they broke it down in a Forbes or some other place, looked at what it would cost and to do all this stuff, the work of an average stay-at-home mom is $120,000, worth $120,000 a year. If it's a working mom, on top of what she's already making and on top of everything else she does, she should get an additional $69,000 a year. And there are other articles along with that that say they believe that fell short. But I want it more than that. It's talking about the things that mothers do. I want to just give you a quick run through of some things and consider if this would fall among the list for your mom. CEO of the household. Personal chef, particularly being a client of many picky eaters. Head cheerleader of, insert the child in your family. Housekeeper. Taxi driver, who, by the way, never gets any tips. Judge mom, who probably has daily court appearances. A mother that has a PhD in anger management, a food tester, a family therapist, an errand runner, a laundry machine operator, a janitor, a teacher, a finance manager, an art director. By the way, remember, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Landscaper, the weeds don't pull themselves. Search and rescue person for anything that's lost. A champion tickler, lifeguard, daycare provider, personal assistant for the entire family, personal shopper, toothbrush inspector, birthday event coordinator, and the list goes on and on. There's 52 of them. I'm not going to read them all, but the moms know what many of the rest of the list is. But I'm going to say this last one because I know that my two boys will appreciate this about Christy. The last one is that she is a Lady MacGyver. Those of you who know MacGyver know what that means. So when we talk about the fact that we respect because of what the abilities, the qualities, and achievements the mother has done, we can't truly respect the mom if we haven't taken time to really consider what the mom has done, how the mom has lived her life, how the mom has cared for us specifically. That's a big deal. Then the last one, appreciation. If respect is a feeling, appreciation is an action. Not going to talk a whole lot about that other than to say, what action have you taken today to show honor for your mother? And you know you can do that if she's sitting beside you right now. You can do that if she lives next door. You can do that if she's 100 miles away. You can do that if she's no longer on this earth. But there are ways to do all three, to revere, respect, and appreciate your mom. And I believe it's a part of what God calls us to do, and not only to do today, but to do on a regular basis. In fact, just take a moment to imagine the difference in a person's life, in a family's life, in the life of communities, if people just took time to honor their mothers today the way God intends. Would it change anything? Would this place be different? Then imagine if we did that on a regular basis. And I want to take that even further. The obedience that God calls us to, there's this commandment here, but there are many places throughout Scripture that God gives us instructions about how to relate to other people as well. God gives us obedience. It requires obedience for us in relating to other people, such as our siblings, our spouses, our co-workers, our employers, for you students, for other students that we're with at school, for our teachers, for our principal, and the list goes on and on and on. So I ask you again, imagine the difference if we were obedient to God in terms of our relationships and the way we celebrate those relationships with each other. Today we're talking about celebrating, and again, Noah doesn't think obedience sounds much like celebrating, but if we are obedient in listening to God about what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to relate to each other, and you remember all those things about the moms, and then you begin to do that with other people too, and that relationship becomes special in a way that you celebrate and have joy that isn't dependent on a situation. A lot of times we see people that celebrate, and they do a great job celebrating, but it's pretty amazing how that celebration is so situational or so surface that 30 minutes later, they're doing just the opposite of celebrating. But for us as believers, if we're celebrating and God is at the foundation of that, and we understand relationships in the context that He's talking to us about moms today, but not only moms, other people as well, when the situation changed, the joy doesn't leave. And so we can continue to celebrate in the midst of times that other people may wonder, why are we celebrating? But it's real. And people begin to realize they want relationships that are like that. And we're able to point not to us and say that you have to do things the way we do it, but point to God and allow God to be the one to invest in their relationships in a way that they see their relationships differently. The next thing I want to talk about comes from the scripture that Caleb read. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Here, I believe Paul is demonstrating what a healthy relationship of celebration looks like. Paul is talking to Timothy at the beginning of this. We're going to get to the part about the moms and grandmothers in a minute. But at the beginning of that, Paul, first of all, thanks God for the relationship he has with Timothy. How much time have you spent in your prayer time with God thanking Him for relationships that you have? Some of us do that. Some of us do that better than others. Some of us thank God for just a few of our relationships. But a part of what I believe we're supposed to do, if we're really going to honor and celebrate those relationships, we need to acknowledge God as being a part of those and give God thanks. So that's the first thing, is to thank God for our relationships. And that acknowledges that God is at the center of that. Secondly, Paul acknowledged, he said, I think it said in there that there were tears, or the tears that came out. He remembered those. And so he acknowledged what Timothy went through in terms of the struggle and the hard times. And I think this is a part of celebrating. And again, it sounds like it doesn't make sense. Why would you remember the sad stuff, the hard stuff, if you're celebrating? Because if you remember what's going on here, then you can appreciate where you've come from and celebrate those trials. Celebrate where it helps you to come. Celebrate how God uses that, and that doesn't define who you are. It becomes something that God uses to equip you. That's why it can be celebrated. Because all too often, if you don't find a way to celebrate that, what it does is it does begin to define you, and you think what you're represented by are those challenges and those struggles that you don't know how to get past. So God desires us to celebrate in the midst of those struggles, and that's what Paul said he was doing with Timothy. The third one here is that Paul desires to invest in that relationship. Paul wants to spend time with Timothy. If we are being the people God wants us to be, there are people God calls us into relationship with. And you know, there are just some people that you know God wants you to make a connection with at some point in time. It may be a phone call, it may be a text, it may mean dropping what you're doing. And I've told you this before, but this example fits again here. There was a friend of mine who's an eye doctor, I may have mentioned this last week, that he dropped a day of work. He dropped a day of salary when his child, what from the time he was born until the time he graduated from high school, he never worked a Monday because that was a day he dedicated to his son. That was probably, I assume, about 1/5 of his salary he gave up to invest with that son. That's something he felt God called him to do. God does that. Whether it's a long-term thing like that or whether it's to make a visit to someone. But God does that. I want you to, we talked about thanking God for relationships, acknowledging the trials and struggles, and investing in that relationship. Are you willing to do that with your mom today? Will you pray to God in a sincere way, thanking God for your mom and who she is? Not just saying, God, thank you for my mom, but acknowledging who she is, the sacrifices she's made, the struggles that have been there. Allowing God to help you see your mom through God's eyes, because our vision is so limited. But if we ask God to enable us to see not only our mothers, but to see other people through the lens of Christ, we begin to see people differently. We begin to respect people differently. We begin to understand people differently. We begin to love people differently. And it's only then that we can celebrate relationships in the way God desires us to, because we have a clearer vision of who we are in that relationship with that person. Along with this same scripture, I want to talk about faithfulness. And I want to suggest that based on this scripture, faithfulness is hereditary. Can you remember, just off the top of your hand, what was God saying about Timothy's mother and grandmother? What did he say in the scripture? Why was he remembering them? Why were they a part of the scripture? Because they had sincere faith, and now that sincere faith that had been in Eunice and in Lois, he was now seeing in Timothy. So faithfulness is hereditary. Moms and grandmothers, this is for you today, and if you can figure it out, it goes beyond that to all of us too. But faithfulness is hereditary. What kind of inheritance are we leaving? What does our faithfulness look like? And sometimes our faithfulness is misplaced. Sometimes we have our faith in some place other than in Jesus Christ. Or we claim that, but we don't live it that way. But mothers, grandmothers, will someone say about your child or grandchild down the road that they're seeing in them what they saw in you, which is the faithfulness that they had in your relationship with Christ? The other side of that is children, grandchildren, what will you do with your inheritance? Every one of us is a child. God, even with all the mistakes a parent could have made, God was a part of that relationship. There's something in that relationship God desires you to take. As difficult, as challenging, as much of a struggle as it may have been, there's something good out of that God desires us to have. What are you going to do with that inheritance? Are you going to squander it? Are you going to dismiss it? Are you going to leave it laying on the table? Are you going to embrace that inheritance and do something with it? Look at what Timothy did with it. If we look at 2 Timothy verse 2, he said, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother Eunice, in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. It's continuing. Is it continuing in you? It's being fruitful. And when we do that, just by the way we live, we celebrate the life of those who have invested in us. And we don't forget that. And we don't take that as our credit to ourselves, or even necessarily credit to persons, one or two persons back. But it's the credit goes to God and to other people who have been willing to live and provide those examples for us, and that demands celebration. Our final thing. And you know, I have to admit, I didn't want to share this part. Didn't want to share it, one, because I thought that what I've already shared was enough, and two, it just doesn't feel that great. But it's been too much that's come by me recently, too many different people in this congregation, in this community, in my own family. But that's why this last passage is here that comes from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. And if you remember what Noah read here, it was came when Jesus was on the cross and he spoke to the disciple and told the disciple to take care of his mother. From the cross, Jesus is taking responsibility for his earthly mother. And we're moving into a time, many of us, when we're beginning to have to accept the responsibility of care for our parents. And there are a few things I want to say. First of all, it's hard. And I make no bones about that. I have seen it over and over and over again. I saw it from the time I was in college with my own mom and her mom, to people all throughout ministry, to friends. It's hard. Secondly, rarely do we plan for something like this. It's just not a part of what we would expect or want or desire. Thirdly, the people who have been cared for probably don't desire or want anything about this situation any more than we do. But then I want to come full circle and say something else. As difficult, as hard, as challenging as this is, it can be a time of celebration. You say, Greg, how can you say that? How can this be a time of celebration? This is how. One is if we live into our relationships with our family the way God calls us to. We remember what God has given us. And God has given us a lot that we tend to forget. But we're to remember, first of all, what God has given us. That's the first part of celebration. Two, how God has blessed us. And if we are believers and we live in the midst of struggles, I can still promise you, I don't care how big your struggle is, God blesses you in some way every single day and blesses me every single day. The worst day of our lives, there's a blessing there. It may be so difficult that we may not be able to see it that day, but I promise you, our God loves us enough and is in tune enough with us and who we are and what we need that He blesses us every single day. And the third thing is that we can celebrate because God will provide. May not provide what we think, may not provide in the time that we think, but God cares and loves us. He loves us. He loves the ones that are we're caring for, and if we're the ones that are being cared for, it's the same thing in reverse. He loves us even though we're losing things that we don't want to lose control of, and we're feeling like we're become a burden on people that we just, that's the last thing we desire on the face of this earth, but somehow or another God can take all of that and turn it into something that is a blessing. But we have to be willing to understand our relationships and celebrate our relationships as God intends. And one of the things that I heard about when it came to caring for parents, caring for those later in life when things have kind of changed, it said that, and it sometimes it talks about in a negative way, how it starts off that the person is a child, and then at the end of the life, they're a child again. But the beautiful part of that is some of the most biggest things you need to provide when it comes to caring for someone later in life are hugs, humor, and attention. And if you can provide and receive hugs, humor, and attention, it's amazing how much we can see of what God is doing. Where do you find yourself today in terms of relating to your mom, to celebrating your mom, to the relationships that you have, to what God's calling you to? I'm going to ask our musicians to come on up. We're going to close in just a moment. But I want to challenge you with this. And this is not just a challenge today for Mother's Day, although you should spend, I should spend, we all should spend an incredible, make an incredible effort today to honor our mothers in whatever way God leads you to. And the way God's going to lead you to honor your mom is going to be different than the way he's going to lead me to do mine. But beyond that, God desires to be a part of our relationships. And you know, I've spent time, and part of it's because I was preparing this sermon, so it was fresh on my mind, but I've celebrated some relationships this week. And I'm thankful for them. And when I celebrate them, they seem to become more rich. And I seem to understand more clearly how God wants to use those relationships and bless me and give me an opportunity to find purpose. It's not just a matter of hanging out. It's not just a matter of being a friend. It's a matter of something that's so much deeper that celebration just has to happen. That's what God desires for each and every one of us. We need to be anything but those people sucking on sour persimmons. We should have a smile on our face that's almost impossible to wipe off, no matter the situation, because of remembering how constantly God is with us every day through every relationship if we simply allow it. Let's stand now, sing and celebrate and follow through with whatever commitment God's calling you to do.